Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Sarah Michelle Gellar of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Hello.
Welcome to We Stand Together, an academic pop culture symposium.
That is correct. We are the pop culture professors. I'm Caitlin Bitsagai.
I'm Lauren Brickman. We're smart people, and you know we're talking dumb topics. That's right. That's right.
So true. You know, it's interesting. We have master's degrees. We've taught at the college level, but we're here to talk about stanning. Lauren, will you teach the students out there in the world what stanning is?
Well, I actually think today, yet again, I may just confuse them with what I'm choosing to stan this week, because I think when most people use the word stan, they're talking about like a celebrity or a piece of music. They're not typically talking about the American Dream Mall in New Jersey. But well, Stans, that's what I'm into this week. Can't help it.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to go to the Jersey State Fair this weekend, but I was told that was not a necessarily reasonable request because it was actually in the parking lot of the Meadowlands, and not everybody apparently wants to stand outside in the hot sun. So instead, a compromise was taking me to the mall. And you know what, folks? I loved it. American Dream Mall has it all. It really does.
You know what's sad, Lauren, is it's been an ongoing dream of mine to go to the New Jersey State Fair. And first of all, it's at a bad time. I don't like that it's over the 4th. I think that's really bad timing. It needs to be moved to August. And I also aspired to go this past weekend and didn't get it done, just on my own terms of I just didn't get it done. But next year, we will do live reporting.
Well, Caitlin, I have some exciting news for you.
Oh, no. What?
So in this whole ongoing descent into madness that was me wanting to go to the fair, it was discovered that there's another Jersey State Fair in Sussex County, which is in August, and apparently a much better fair.
Nothing about what you say makes sense to me. You can't have two state fairs. You must have one to rule them all. They can have a county fair. Anyone can do anything.
I think it's technically a county fair. Okay. But everybody apparently on the internet was saying it's a better deal, it's a better fair. So I believe that's going to happen in August. So our dreams could come true, Kate.
I like it's a better deal. I mean, what does the money even go to?
Okay, like, here's the thing. It's $40 for the day.
Oh, yeah.
Just for rides at the Meadowlands one, not including anything else. But at the Sussex County Fair, you can donate blood and enter for free.
Well, good news. Good news for all the vampires out there in Sussex County.
Anyways, that's what I'm standing. What are you standing this week, Caitlin?
You know, I am going back to one of our other loves of New Jersey in a mall, which is I went to the Newport Cinemas and saw the new Ethan Hawke scary movie, Black Phone, and I loved it. Yeah. I thought it was so great, so well acted, a good, like, psychological, scary movie, and the kid actors are actually really good. And, you know, my man Ethan Hawke, his first villain role, so he put himself out there. So let's all encourage him.
No, interesting. Because some might say that Troy in Reality Bites is somewhat of a villain.
You know what? I'll say this from his perspective, from Ethan Hawke's perspective, because he made a move that he did not want to play a villain before because he worried that audiences would only think of you as that villain. But he thinks at 50, time to make that turn.
Wow. I love that for him and for us. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. It was so fun.
Well, I'm glad. You know, New Jersey really bringing people to culture.
Yes. Through malls, specifically.
Mall culture is culture.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm really excited about today's topic and today's guest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these two crazy kids, they got all kinds of sweet, sweet creds. And we're going to be diving into something that is truly delightful and romantic today. We're talking newlyweds with today's guests,
Ben Cohen and Sabrina Cartagena.
Hi.
Welcome.
Well, it's just such a gosh darn delight to have you both here. Now, last weekend, I saw firsthand evidence of the fact that you two are actually married. This is true.
100% true.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. Now, there is you all got married a year ago, but celebrated it this year by dressing up as iconic romantic duos.
That's not the way that we think of it, but
it's the way.
We got married a year ago, July 3rd, with only the officiant and the witness.
In Central Park on a misty morning.
We went to the plaza, got massages, and we watched Fresh Prince, but it was amazing.
I always forget the Fresh Prince part. Yeah,
I know. Wow. It really was.
It was truly, truly lovely.
And then this year we threw a costume party to celebrate our wedding and 1 year anniversary, because it took place exactly a year later.
Where we were famed romantic couple, Beetlejuice and Lydia. Consenting couple, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm, and we were everyone's favorite celebrity couple, Bruce Springsteen and Selena.
Who clearly were together. Everyone knows this.
And then, I think we all saw it. Yeah.
Everyone saw the potential. And then finally, famed celebrity couple, Brooklyn Nets, Joe Harris, and Romy from Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
No, sorry. I was Michelle.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I got to change some paperwork. I need to get...
He's been cheating already.
Our tax forms will not be valid.
The IRS is coming for your ass.
Yeah, we also did taxes together in our year married.
You know, it did feel validating to see so many of my favorite couples from fan fictions I've written come to life. But, you know, we want to put the listeners at ease. We always like to share a little bit of our credentials. And obviously, you two are newlyweds. So you have the most obvious credits this week. But Caitlin, what are your credentials for talking newlyweds in cinema?
Well, here's what I think is interesting. And I'm excited to explore the topic with Ben and Sabrina, because I guess I've been a newlywed, as in I was married one day and I wasn't the next. But is this something that we really culturally have time for anymore? Is this something that you think of, like, is your life a lot more different than right before you were married? You know, I think the concept of newlyweds comes from when people didn't know each other for super long, certainly didn't live together before. So maybe you had a newlywed period, but it wasn't even when you're officially married, or, you know, maybe you never did. I just feel like it's something that maybe mean something different these days. So when I was married for the first year or 2 years, I don't think of that as a newlywed period, though technical was.
Interesting.
I agree with that.
Wait, which part?
There's less of a culture of that.
Because absolutely.
We got married when we were together for 6 years.
Yeah.
So,
and already lived together for several.
We had dogs together, like nothing changed. definitely feel that, but it didn't feel like we were newlyweds in this typical sense.
Ben, but to you.
I totally agree, but I also, I do feel like there have been phases of newlywed phase.
Yeah.
Like, something is different. I don't know what's different. Something is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, like, nice. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. We also, like, I don't think either of us are really big into the, like, historic concept of marriage. And so we went against several traditional things. Like, we didn't take each other's names. I really didn't want to do, like, a walk down the aisle situation, no toast, no speeches, anything like that. And so I think that we also think of marriage a little differently. So a newlywed phase doesn't feel like what maybe it traditionally would have felt like. But right now it feels very, it feels very good. I guess what I'm saying is I still love my wife.
Yes.
Is that, I think that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Wow.
That's exciting.
I'm sorry. This is tremendous content.
No, and it is.
Either Romy or Michelle, whomever your wife is.
I'm not sure which. I am pretty confident I'm the guy who invented, no, didn't invent post-its.
You did not.
The glue of the sneaker.
Oh, wow. Ben's having a real identity crisis. But
ooh, okay. Well, Lauren, maybe you can save this by telling us what is your credit.
Well, as the only person on this Zoom call right now who's never been married, you might be thinking, what's her claim to fame? And it's that I've officiated at least 8 weddings at this point.
Wow. So you've created newlyweds.
Them. I'm a newlywed maker. In fact, I've done a ceremony in Central Park, low-key. I did a secret wedding there. I've done Salem, Massachusetts. I've done Oklahoma. I've done all over Oklahoma, New York. I've done a lot of weddings in a lot of places. And all but one or two of them are still together.
So that's a pretty good.
I have an almost perfect record.
But did they make it through the newlyweds?
Yeah. How far did they make it? Like how?
Years. They're then all.
Then as far as as this goes in the newlywed phase, you did batted 1,000. Great.
Yeah. No, everyone loved their newlywed phase. No complaints for the newlywed phase.
So we all agree that the officiant. No, I'm sorry. We all agree the officiant is responsible for the newlywed phase.
Yeah.
Monetarily. I think if they get divorced, you have to pay. For within a year?
I get weekly progress reports. It's much like how, as an academic advisor, I make sure my students are meeting satisfactory academic progress.
Sure.
I check in with my newlywed couples, making sure they're also meeting satisfactory progress.
Seeing how they're doing. Like when you adopt a whale and it's like, oh, they're in Alaska now.
You got one couple, you're just like, I guess perfect attendance?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not going to throw any shade, but I've got one couple that immediately popped up when you said that.
Wow. Don't even know what that could mean, and yet someone's guilty. Wow. Well,
wow. Every one of those couples is shitting themselves trying to figure out who it is.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
I cannot wait for the text to come in because we have a couple of listeners who have been to more than one wedding I've officiated, and I can feel them all thinking about it right now.
Send the text, people. Send the text. Well, Lauren, before you out and dox some of your friends, maybe we should play a game.
Should we play a game? Keep it a little light.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Well, Ben, Sabrina, I know that in addition to being newlyweds, you're both cinephiles and you know the movie business. So I came up with a little game today called In the Name of Love, and I have collected taglines. And I will say taglines according to IMDb, at least.
Oh, God.
Right. Always confusing.
So these are the taglines that IMDb claims these movies used. So I'm going to read you a tagline. And you're going to try and guess what movie it's the tagline from. Now, to keep it helpful, these are all movies about various states of wedded bliss. Okay? So there's weddings at the center of all of these films. Are you ready to play In the Name of Love?
I've never been more ready.
All right. Here we go. Here's your first tagline. Love is here to stay. So is her family.
Oh, that has to be My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Indeed.
Yes, it is.
100%, yes.
I just watched that for the first time like a month ago.
Really? How did you think? All these years later.
You know, it took me a while to get into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just should be clear, this is a common occurrence. Like, I think she would say that at, like...
Yeah, I don't know where you got that I'm a cinephile, Lauren, but...
like,
I think just...
I just married one.
And she married a film teacher, but, like, I think... Movies. She likes movies.
I like movies.
Yeah.
I just assumed somebody that could look that good in Lydia's wedding dress had to be a cinephile.
I don't like Beetlejuice.
Sabrina! Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay,
you are blowing my mind right now.
I don't mean that I don't like it. I was always afraid of it. Okay, I find it scary. It freaks me out. I don't like
it. Can I say, in preschool, when I was asked what my favorite movie was, I said, no question, Beetlejuice.
In preschool.
That was my favorite movie.
You should tell your therapist that.
Stand by it. I stand by it. All right. So, okay. We're going to move through and push past the fact that Sabrina doesn't like Beetlejuice.
Let's keep it going. Yes.
We're gonna keep going because I want you to stay in the newlywed bliss. All right. This next one. What's the tagline? Everybody is coming to Sophie's wedding.
Everybody's coming to Sophie's wedding?
I can't think of a famous character.
That is named Sophie?
Yeah.
Everybody's coming to Sophie's wedding.
Oh, is it Bridesmaids?
No, that's Annie. Oh, wait, but Sophie is... Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Do we get hints? Do we have phone a friend? How does this work?
I will say this. It is a movie adaptation of a popular stage musical.
Hairspray?
That's yes, it's a Julian movie, Hairspray.
Yeah. Famous
John Waters newlywed film, Hairspray.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I couldn't even.
All right. Yeah. Wow. And this is where we find out we're so different because I thought this would be so easy.
But you're a musical theater kid.
Yeah. I guess I forget that this. I don't know. I just thought this was a movie that crossed the aisle from musical theater kid to film kid.
Okay.
Now I'm going to be ashamed. Let's do this.
Here we go. It's Mamma Mia.
Oh, my God. How is that the tagline?
Why is that the tagline?
Ben, do you remember?
I remember watching that.
We watched it like a year or two ago, and it was so terrible.
It hurt to watch. Look, it's not that it's a bad story. It's a great story. It's a classic story. It's not that it's bad music. Mm-hmm. It's incredible music. It's unbearable camera work. Like, it's hard to look at. The camera is like in the sand. It like doesn't move, and then suddenly it moves too much. Why is that the tagline for Mamma Mia?
I got a lot of questions about the marketing, and I think the simple answer is they didn't have to try that hard. We were all gonna see it.
They could have just called it like the ABBA movie, and we all would have been there.
We were all there anyway.
We all watched it, yes.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, I'm nervous about this next one, but I'm excited to hear why you hate it. So tell me what this tagline is for. Sometimes what you're looking for is right where you left it.
I want that to be Beetlejuice.
Yeah, is this
Beetlejuice? It can't be Beetlejuice.
It's not, but I wish it was.
Oh,
I'm somewhat convinced that taglines have nothing to do with movies anymore.
They maybe don't.
Wait, can you repeat it?
Sometimes what you're looking for is right where you left it. And I will give you a massive hint and say that it's a Reese Witherspoon vehicle. Your big hint is this is a Reese Witherspoon vehicle.
Oh, Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah,
there you go.
Good. Okay. Clear cinephile. Gotcha.
Okay. That was a practice.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're getting to the real stuff.
Yeah.
Here's a really strong tagline. I loved this when I read it. On her wedding day, she was very much in love. Unfortunately, not with the groom.
No, it can't be Runaway Bride.
It's not a good guess. That would be a good one.
I don't remember the plot of Lucy, but I'm hoping this is Lucy.
Oh, that's a good guess, but no.
It's not the one we're... Okay.
Is that your final answer?
No. Not with the groom?
Mm-hmm.
So she would be in love with a priest. No, wait, hold on. No. With a...
who would... Yes, obviously.
It can't be my best friend's wedding. Oh, could it be? It is.
No. Could it be? Because no, who...
Yeah. Point of view.
Oh, right. It's not a Cameron Diaz vehicle.
Okay, y'all ready? It's Taye Diggs' star vehicle, the best man.
Oh, my goodness. I have never seen anything other than the blockbuster VHS of that.
Oh, so good. All right. I have a feeling you're going to get this next one. This next one is another iconic one. He gave her a ring. His mom gave her a finger.
Good tagline.
Oh, that must be Monster-in-Law.
It is. Yes. Okay. You know, you're Jane Fonda. Oh, man.
Never okay. would I have gotten.
I know my Jennifer Lopez.
This one could not be clunkier. Like, they tried to make the clunkiest tagline when they came up with, before the internet, before cell phones, before rollerblades, there was a time, .. 1985. Don't pretend you don't remember.
The Wedding Singer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely correct.
Why don't pretend you don't remember?
I don't know. It made no sense to me, but I laughed so hard when I read it.
I love that.
All right. We have just, right? I love that movie. All right. We have three left. Here we go.
Okay.
Sometimes the only way to get past family drama is to jump right over it.
I'm getting like interesting visuals.
It like could kind of be The Godfather.
Honestly, a Newlywed movie. People don't think about that.
Like half that movie is a wedding.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
To jump over it. Mm-hmm. Are there movies that feature jumping, or is this like a metaphorical jump?
There is jumping in this film. Jumping is a big part of this film.
It's not Space Jam.
It's not Space Jam.
It's not Chariots of Fire. When is jump? It's like time jumping. There's no wedding time travel movies as far as I can remember.
There should be, though.
Happy Accidents is kind of that.
Okay.
I've got nothing.
I have nothing.
It's Jumping the Broom. It is a Paula Patton star vehicle, and I picked it because she plays a character named Sabrina, who is a successful corporate lawyer, and she thinks she's found her Mr. Right, who's a Wall Street guy, and then her parents, Angela Bassett and Brian Stokes Mitchell, get involved, and there's a lot going on in this movie.
Okay.
Do you recommend?
Oh, yeah. Anything Angela Bassett's in, I recommend.
I think it's a good philosophy in general.
Yeah. There's nothing I'll skip if she's in it.
She's the one that walks away from the burning house and waiting to exhale.
Oh, yeah.
Car, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We love her. All right. We're almost at the end. We got two left. This next one, honestly, has been one of my favorite movies since the day I saw it. Can you guess what it is when you hear this log line? What if finding the love of your life meant changing the life that you loved?
Oh, that's a really good tagline. I will say that's so broad. Like, I could see that could be
so many things. Like Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Can you repeat it?
That's true. What if finding the love of your life meant changing the life that you loved?
So she's got
Space Jam.
She has to sacrifice something for the life that they had, for the new life. She has to sacrifice what they had before, which is probably career.
Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding,
yeah,
ding,
that's
ding.
What I'm thinking. Yeah.
So who's got to give up their like good career for someone? Not
the man or the woman.
Are you asking?
Maybe both.
They both have to change.
Maybe both.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? No, that's not wedding.
No. Right, because you're like pretty sure it's not like this.
It has to be a wedding. Newlyweds.
This one is like newlyweds. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go with Edward Scissorhands and just call it.
I think that's a great guess. It is so close. It is the Matthew Perry, Selma Hayek joint star vehicle.
Oh, Fools Rush In. Oh, yeah. I saw that in theaters twice. Yeah, I was a Chandler fan and was like, well, Chandler has a movie. I should see that twice.
Yeah, same.
that combination does not make sense, the two of them.
You mean Chandler and Salma Hayek? That is probably the closest relationship to us that exists. I think that's probably the closest comp in film history is Chandler and Salma Hayek.
But they don't make any sense.
And yet they thrive.
And yet they thrive. We love it. I love that movie. All right. I think their chemistry is off the charts. We have one final tagline for you. Let's see if you can figure this one out. And this one, it just made me giggle. The rain is coming, and so is the family.
Oh, oh, oh. Excuse me. Can you say that?
This is 2001 comedy drama. It really went for it.
2001 comedy drama.
Royal Tenenbaums. Meet the Parents. It is Meet the Parents, isn't it?
It is Meet the Parents. No, it is Monsoon Wedding.
What is that?
It's a 2001 Indian film, but it was like a huge global hit.
Oh.
Yeah. It had a lot of breakthrough success across markets, across cultures. I personally remember when the movie came out being really into the poster. I thought it was such a fun poster.
Interesting.
I wanted to like go to the wedding.
Monsoon Wedding.
It was very fun. It's a very fun movie. Monsoon Wedding. Strongly recommend. Very fun. Well, Sabrina, Ben, you did a lovely job. You really came in there.
Don't lie.
Lauren.
I think you got what, two right?
Yeah.
You got 1, 2, 3, 4. You got 4 correct.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, you didn't fail and the semester is not over. You can always pull it out in the next round.
Let's go.
Okay.
But we're going to take a quick break so that Sabrina and Ben can regroup and we'll be right back. All right, we've regrouped. We're ready to rock and roll. But before we play another game, Caitlin, you have an incredibly important thesis to present tonight.
Thank you.
This might be one of your most important today.
Thank you. And I'm still awaiting your ranking and your progress report on me.
Every day I'm working on. I have one of those like dance mom style pyramids.
I know,
but it's just your face with your
over the years. It's creepy, but it does help me.
Yeah. And that's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, well, I want to talk to you guys today about a very special reality show that was on MTV from 2003 to 2005 called, appropriately, Newlyweds. Are you guys familiar with this show?
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely.
No,
Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey.
Oh!
Yes. It followed Newlyweds, Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey. And I would say, per our earlier discussion, they really fit the definition of newlyweds. They had not lived together. They had famously waited till marriage to have sex. They had both been on tour and didn't even really live in the same area before getting married. So this was really each other's introduction to the person that they married. My thesis is that this show changed reality television forever, but we will also never be able to do it again. And this is why, because not only did it catch them at an interesting point in their life and relationship, it caught them at an interesting point in their fame. And it was actually a low point. The teen craze, you know, they were aging out of it. It was cresting a bit, and they weren't the top of that, right? They were not Backstreet Boys. They were not Justin Timberlake. They were not Britney Spears. So they weren't, you know, if the fad died, they weren't going to be the ones that lived through it. So they do this reality show, which at the time, I mean, reality is not thought of as the highest art today, but at the time it was like really bottom feeder stuff. Like, you don't do reality unless you're done. But then there was this miraculous moment in the show, because they really were, I will give them both credit, whatever you think of the relationship or individuals, they both put it all out there in this show. And that made them superstars again. Like, it was very bizarre. And then they started coming out with music again that did well. And they are, I mean, they're both really still, I'd say they're both solidly B-list. And that's, if you told me that they, in 2003, they would have maintained B-list status, I'd have been shocked. But this show changed everything. Unfortunately, now couples and families going into these shows know that. I would say the comp, the one that you could say before them was Osbournes, but that's a family show, not a newlywed show. So I just want to watch some super important clips from this show. And I do have to, with apologies to Jessica, because I know she's tired of it being watched, but this clip is, was the question heard around the world in 2003. And I think, though, beyond the fundamental hilarity of the topic, there's a lot very, very real in the clip that anyone who's really ever shared a couch with anyone, let alone been married, will understand.
Is this chicken what I have, or is this fish? I know it's tuna, but it says chicken by the sea. Is that stupid? What? Don't make fun of me right now. I'm not in the mood.
You act like you've never had tuna before.
I've had tuna fish, like, sandwiches and stuff like this.
Baby, you and I have eaten tuna like this before.
Why is it called chicken by the sea or in the sea?
Chicken of the sea is the brand.
Oh.
You know, because a lot of people eat tuna, it's like a lot of people eat chicken, so it's like the chicken of the sea.
Okay, I understand that. I read it wrong.
So that clip, I mean, she's famous for not knowing the difference between chicken and tuna, but that's really not all that's going on in that clip. First of all, how loud that basketball game is in the back. Like, that is crazy. It is so, like, raw and found footage. You would never see that on something, like, produced like a Housewives today. They'd be like, turn the fucking television off. But it's so real. He's just like, he doesn't really want to talk to her about this. He's embarrassed. Like, I don't think it's that the camera's there. It's between the two of them. Like, they're getting to know each other, and he's like, so this was my choice. Okay. Then I will say, to her credit, he doesn't explain it very well. He doesn't really understand why it's called chicken of the sea either. He says, you know how some people eat tuna, some people eat chicken? It's like, that is not...
So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're both edible, but that's not the thing.
You eat a lot of it, so it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's like a replacement that but then they argue about whether they've had it in sandwiches before. Very real, very real. She, in a way though, she comes off better in this clip to me, because she just like wants to end it. She's just like, oh, I get it, I misread, which isn't true at all. She doesn't understand it, and she did misread, but that's not just what happened. But I just love also, I always want to point out, she doesn't say, is this chicken or is this tuna? She says, is this chicken or is this tuna? What I'm eating, is it tuna? The phrasing is so insane. Like, you truly could never write it. And that's not a comment on her intelligence. That's just how people speak to their partner on a couch. Yeah.
No, just like, if I remember correctly, like, she got killed for this.
Yes.
And like it was more of that, like another like Pam Anderson blonde, like not smart person, but like what couple doesn't just like lay on the sofa and say stupid shit like that?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
I say stupid shit all the time like that. I mean, not that good in quality and eloquent. But, like, I feel like that's so common.
Totally. And you kind of hope your partner won't tell all of America. But that's what was happening. Those moments were being shared with the entire MTV audience. And there's something, I mean, they are just truly not a good couple at all. Like, they didn't know each other very well. They're not well suited. So just from, and this, by the way, is from the pilot. So shout out to Joe Simpson. Who was the executive producer for, he threw his daughter under the bus, but she made basically $100 million off of it. So it's okay. I want to show you a couple of their fights that will make you, I want to die.
2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Almost there.
1, 2, 3.
Nice work, Josh.
Ah, that hurts though.
Only one small nick. It's pretty damn good.
Also, people listening to this can't see this, but that house looks like the Arrested Development house.
Oh,
do
my
they
God, it
live
does.
In a Blue Stick Mansion? Mm-hmm. They share sets.
I did want to speak on that they live in Calabasas, which this is one of the first times America has been let into the world of Calabasas, which is the extreme upscale valley suburb. And that is where the Kardashians live. And we would see tons of interiors like this moving forward through the aughts. But this was this first quite distinctive suburban Southern California neighborhood.
Nope, you handle it. You figure it out.
Oh my God.
I'm done with it.
Interior decorator. I still love you.
I still love you. What the hell is that supposed to
mean?
I still love you in spite of what? I still love you in spite of what?
You're decorating.
Well, then you get off your ass and do it. I've been here working my ass off for like the last 3 days.
Baby, I'm not.
All you do is come home and bitch about it.
I'm not bitching.
You're bitching in your own non-bitchy kind of way. But in reality, you're bitching. You just won't directly come out and say you don't like it. You'll beat around the bush with it.
Oh, please. You done?
No. I'm trying to help you out and give you a closet the way you want it.
Nick, I know you're trying to help me out, but you're trying to do it your way.
I think you have the slightest clue how much work I've been doing right
here. I understand that, Nick,
but
you
don't
even
waltz in. And
because I waltz into a house that's been totally decorated without me saying, oh, yeah, that looks cute there.
I love, oh, yeah, it looks cute there. So to give you background on this fight, this is what happened. They are moving into the Arrested Development Calabasas house. Nick and literally two other members of 98 Degrees, I cannot emphasize this enough, move. They get a U-Haul and move the shit in. Jessica comes home and is really mad about the way things are put, like decorated and put away and stuff. And he's so mad at her for not appreciating his work. She actually speaks about this exact incident in her book about how she felt set up to look like a bad guy in this scene because she didn't appreciate it, when in fact it was very weird that she asked him not to do this and he went ahead and did it. They're both insane. Like, they don't have, like, there's no decorating. Like, all they own is like framed gold singles. Like, that's all they have. So you just put those wherever. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yes. Who has not been set up by multiple members of 98 Degrees when trying to move a home?
You gotta, you know, that's just part of it. And then this final one that is short, Just so you understand, Nick is playing Jessica music that he made, but that he thinks is kind of bad. Like, that is what he has told her. Like, just so you would understand, like, check out this thing. It didn't work out, kind of, is the vibe.
That's why I didn't make your Christmas album.
That's a fucked up thing to say. You.
Nick! That's not, I don't like that.
Well, say it in a way that's a little less abrasive next time.
Are you mad because I didn't like that song?
Don't worry about it.
Baby, I'm gonna tell you the truth.
I'm not talking to you.
Are you really mad because I don't like that song?
Baby, I'm not talking to you right now.
I'm scared to hurt your feelings. I thought you were being funny.
When have you ever been scared to hurt my feelings?
Baby, I thought you were being funny.
I was, but my God. Be mean about it.
Maybe there's a lot of songs that I wrote that you don't like.
Jessica, would you drop it, please?
So again, he did kind of trick her because he was like, this didn't make the album. Isn't it like kind of not good? And she was like, yeah. And he didn't want that. He wanted it to be like, no, you should have included this one. It's the best one.
I think it's like, you know, that old like, stupid, like 90s sitcom trope of like, did these jeans make my ass look big? Mm-hmm, I think that's what he did for his Christmas song.
1,000%, because I also think, he released that song later. I don't think he did give up on that song.
He probably wanted it more than ever after that moment.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And all she said was, well, that's why it didn't make the album. implying that the album is good and that this song is bad, but like he cannot take it at all. And this show also has a moment where they invite Dax Shepard to their home to film a video that parodies a punked. I mean, first of all, Dax is now considered a relationship expert. Whether you agree or not, he is considered one.
I mean, he has certainly put that out there.
Yes, he has put that out there. And this is, I feel like, where his training came from primarily. Then, of course, they would break up after 3 seasons. Nick would immediately write a song about the relationship, film the video with Vanessa Minnillo, and then marry her.
Yes.
So that was an and now host dating and marriage shows with her.
Yeah, now they're relationship experts.
So that kind of worked out for him. She, unfortunately, dated John Mayer. That didn't work out for her, but she seems happy now.
The story of everyone who dated John Mayer.
It is my dream that they do a rewatch podcast together. Like, now that they both have 3 kids, it's totally like they both have money. They're both good. It's like, let's watch. I mean, just to watch the Chicken of the Sea scene, I just.
That would be incredible. But I can't imagine that they have any sort of positivity. You know?
No. I don't think they do. I think it's.
Right? But I wish they did.
I think it would be the ultimate flex for both of them to be like, we're so over this and we have such a good sense of humor about ourselves. And maybe invite their, oh my God, maybe have a special episode where her husband, Eric, and his wife, Vanessa, watch one. And they're like, oh, they still do shit like this.
And like the rest of 90 Degrees is like holding boom mics and shit.
Oh, so good.
It's an independent project. Yes.
Yeah.
The rest of 90 Degrees moves them out of that house, sadly. But I don't know. It was such a moment. And I feel like it's like so many couples have tried to recreate this, but it just doesn't work. There's this, it just was lightning in a bottle of two people who are awful in so many ways, but absolutely willing to share themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
And warts and all. So that I respect.
I mean, it's glorious.
Yeah. Jessica Simpson, like, oh my goodness. I feel so bad for what she went through. And looking back on it, but she's so innocent.
Yeah.
Like, she's dumb, but I don't think she's doing anything wrong.
Yeah, they both do not treat each other well, but it is worth noting she's 22 and he's 30. And, like, and they'd been dating since she was like 17 and he is 26. So it was like, he was more of a full adult walking into this.
Yeah.
Who maybe should have said, I shouldn't marry someone who doesn't know different proteins.
Yeah. Well, I think that this speaks to your point of that this couldn't be recreated, is that the circumstances didn't bat many eyes at the time.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Their friends, how long they were together, as they were filming this, how he treated her. She came off looking super down, and no one, like,
and they marketed it towards, if I remember correctly, they marketed about, well, they started with the virginity and then they went to the stupid. Yeah, so like the lead up was like, they've never done it.
I think that was fun now.
Yeah, I don't think, it's interesting. We don't discuss our teen pop stars' virginity status anymore. Mm. Thank God.
Since the,
we recognize that we should not do that.
Yeah, it was like since the promise ring stuff, right?
The promise ring stuff, and like I remember there were like countdowns to when certain celebrities
were turning 18.
The Olsen twins. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, gross era. I agree. They tried to sort of be the polished Christian face of it, but it was all this like gross stuff that hopefully we just would not engage with the topics anyway. Well, thank you. I think everyone should do a rewatch of Newlyweds. It's like all on YouTube. It's please, Nick and Jessica, rewatch pod. Nick and Jessica, rewatch pod.
I mean, honestly,
I want their spouses to do it instead of them.
It could be that. I would love Ashley to get a hold of one.
Oh, yeah.
Ashley is due for a comeback at some point, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, comeback suggests that she never left. I think about her every day.
Lauren.
That's my truth.
Well, you know, she's Diana Ross's daughter-in-law, so she's done something right in life.
Amen, amen, amen.
Yeah, I guess you're good at that point. But still, how fun would it be if there was just like a random Ashley Simpson HBO vehicle, like, 25-minute sitcom, right. Like,
or like a number one single, like absolute number one banger of the summer.
You guys remember the SNL thing from her show?
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh my God. I remember watching that on her show for Ashley Simpson. They don't understand. She was sick. That was why
she. Yes, Ashley Defenders, come through. Ashley Defenders.
Yeah, she had like laryngitis.
Oh.
And they show her like going to the doctor and being.
I didn't know.
Can't sing. Like they were telling her, like, you can't sing at SNL. So that's why she can't.
I literally have laryngitis right now.
Do you?
That's what it means when you lose your voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's.
I just thought everybody lip syncs on SNL except for like Prince.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, justice for Ashley. Well, thank you guys for taking
going
on the journey with me. I think we should play another game.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think we have to.
Oh, God.
You know, this is a new segment here on We Stay Together. This is the advice corner. Ooh. And you guys have now been married for 1 year. You're right in the newlywed thick of it. So, and you said you've been together for 6 years. So I want you to help these celebrity couples that have recently gotten married. If you have any individual wisdom for them as a particular couple.
I like this.
So the princess of pop, Britney Spears, finally married longtime boyfriend Sam Asghari after getting out of conservatorship. I don't know if you guys relate to anything with that.
Yeah.
But what would you say to Britney and Sam?
What I would say to Britney, well, I mean, I wish I could say so many things to her.
Yeah.
But probably to do whatever she has to do to like protect herself first.
Because, like, take care of her own joy.
Make sure that, like, I know you love this man and I hope he's like amazing for you, but just remember, like, you need to look out for yourself.
I think that's great. I think that's great. Okay, awesome. Now, this is an interesting one. Recently married Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons. They do already have 2 children.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I love this couple. This is one of my favorite couples in the world. Like what they met doing Fargo. They are generational talents. Jesse Plemons is one of our best actors. Kirsten Dunst is regularly underrated. She's been killing it for decades now. I would tell them very, very little. I would just tell them gratitude. Like they have hit the jackpot with one another. They've just got to savor every day, no matter how hard the rest of the world seems. When they come home, they have an oasis, and most people should strive for that.
I didn't know you felt so strongly about
Kirsten Kiki and Jesse.
Yeah,
because you don't watch the like movies and shows that he's on,
and they were on together.
But like, I love them. Like, Landry and Bring It On finally got together. Like, it's beautiful.
Wow. I never really thought about that, but
yeah, the football player and the cheerleader, but the last two you would expect.
Wow. Okay. So
I love your energy.
Neo recently got married. And what's interesting is he got married to his former wife, Crystal Renee. So do you have any advice for Neo and his ex and new wife?
Ben claims he does not know who Neo is. This came up a few months ago, and I was like, there's no way you don't know who Neo is.
I was just about to say, I don't know who this is.
Song, and it just was not, he didn't know who Neo was.
Huh.
But I swear he does.
Well, it's like Miss Independent, I would say.
Yeah.
It's a big one. He's also a songwriter.
Yeah, he's written a lot of songs.
You take this
for
one.
Beyonce.
I feel like he was Usher's successor.
Oh.
In many ways, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay, look, I got this. Whatever you do, do not knock up an older woman and then do an entire breakup album about knocking up said woman while leaving famed pop star Chili alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what, Ben? You said you weren't one for wedding speeches, but I think that could be the universal wedding speech that is given at every wedding.
This is
not do as Usher does.
Confession.
Yeah.
This is my confession. Though the album is fire, so
it's incredible.
It is. So maybe we're glad that happened.
The rest of us benefited. Yeah. I feel terrible for Chili, Neo. Yeah.
Chili. Another hard knock for our gal, Chili. So what about one of the weddings of the year, Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker, Kravis.
Yes, they scare me. They're so intense with each other.
Yeah.
It's a lot. There's a lot of energy coming off of them. I would say, you know, don't forget you have like a lot of children.
Correct. Six.
Okay. I'm with you.
Like, I think that's like, a great point.
You have responsibilities, y'all.
Yeah.
You always be making out. But like, good for you.
It is weird.
And I hope they always feel as passionate about one another as they seem to right now. And then save that fun.
It should be fun. Yeah. Marriage should be fun. Our marriage is fun. Marriage should be fun.
Yes, and I hope we do whatever they can to make it like a beautiful, wonderful experience for all of the children involved in that.
But like, yeah, take care of the kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Take care of the kids.
Great point. All right, this last one. They maybe got married around the same time you did, but they haven't been together as long. Niecy Nash and Jessica Betts.
Oh my God, yes, she did get married. Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Niecy Nash?
I don't know these people.
Reno 911, and then she, like, had that show, Clean House, I used to watch all the time.
Yes. Who Wants a Clean House? Mm-hmm. Love that.
I believe she's, you.
You know her.
And then her wife, Jessica, is a musician who is not super famous outside of being Niecy's wife, but...
Okay, you take this one.
I would say to them, like, just never forget that you have the best possible person at home. You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Just don't forget that you purposefully, like, were like, yes, this is it. I want this. We should be contractually bound to each other because I'm having such a good time in this relationship. I think that's, like, the energy that you need to come in
I think that is great. I think I think we really hit on some universal advice that you chose the person, have fun, and don't do as Usher does. So yeah. I think this first advice corner was super successful.
This is really successful. I feel like I learned a lot, I grew a lot, and I'm gonna leave today being a better person.
That's lovely.
Yeah, thank you all so much. We're going to take a quick break so I can make sure to really let this advice seep into my bones, and we'll be right back. Together. All right, it seeped like a good cup of tea. I am fully brewed and ready, and I think that means there's only one thing left to do, and that's for me to share my thesis today. Before I reveal what my thesis is, I want to just ask you, when I say horror movies about newlyweds, what is the first movie that comes to mind?
You said horror movies?
Yeah, like scary movies
about newlyweds.
Scary movies, thrillers, where being newlywed is at its core.
Oh.
I literally can't think of one.
Corpse Bride, that doesn't count.
She was wearing a wedding dress.
I mean, she's a bride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Corpse Bride.
Okay, that's a solid one. But, you know, the struggle was real to think of one. And I think that, but Caitlin, you have one?
There was a one, pretty recently. Yeah.
Are you thinking of Ready or Not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ready or Not is a good one. These are great ones. But
But
for me, I feel like there haven't been a ton. And I think that's unfortunate because
agreed.
I think that there is nothing scarier than being vulnerable enough to like make a commitment and join families. And I'm going to circle back to why this matters in a moment. But first, Caitlin, could you hit play on the YouTube clip that I've just placed?
Mm-hmm.
since it was a struggle for us to think of an example, I'm going to imagine that it's going to be a struggle for us to all remember the movie I want to talk about today. So I'm going to play a trailer for you all for a movie that I think has gotten a bad rap, but I think deserves a second look.
I'm so excited.
I'm racking my brain to think of it.
From the moment they met, he made all her dreams come true.
Marry me. Is it a yes?
I do. I love you, Jackson.
His home was her home.
You never told me it was like this.
It's no big deal.
His family was her family.
I'm Jackson's grandmother. You'll be a big hit around here.
And his mother embraced her.
She's a wonderful, wonderful girl, and I love her.
But in this house...
What about your mother?
There's only room for one mother.
She's breeding herself a grandson.
Now, you two aren't having any problems, are you?
It's been different since we've been down here.
What's this I hear about you wanting to have the baby at home?
Why is she telling him things that I didn't say?
God said, you who are most worthy.
I don't know what has been going on between me and your mother, but I need you.
And take the child to your bosom and become its mother.
She murdered my son and got away with it.
She'll do the same to you. Amen.
TriStar Pictures presents...
Is this my baby or is it hers?
Two-time Academy Award winner Jessica Lange.
There's that poison. Steer clear. We don't want any accidents happening.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Your mother tried to kill me last night.
Jonathan Scheck.
Am I crazy? Am I completely crazy?
Just a little crazy.
There's just no stopping you, is there?
Where are you going?
To the hospital.
I don't think so.
You bet!
Helen?
Bad girl, you found me out, didn't you?
Never get away with this. Stay away from my boy. Help me!
Oh, the pain is terrible, isn't it? You just have to go through it.
Hush.
So, yes, that is the trailer from the 1998 American thriller, Hush.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Lauren, can I ask, is this the primordial ooze that Ryan Murphy was born out of?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, yeah, I think so. And here's the thing. Well, before I say my thoughts, besides it being Ryan Murphy's primordial ooze, thoughts about what you just saw? Reactions, initial.
It looks so
good. Like, I want to watch that. Like, that's our weekend movie.
It looks like there's so much that happened in that trailer alone. Like, I feel like I just watched the short film. But it looks like there's so many good things that I've seen that I would get out of this movie.
It has that, like, Anne Rice. It has that, like, Anne Rice, like, southern, scary, blonde thing going on. It has, like I guess it's prime.
The acting looks really great.
When Gwyneth acted.
Yes, Jessica Lange. Oh, my God.
Now, here's the thing. I remember seeing this movie I saw it at the Dollar Movie with my mom, and it's like
very Dollar Movie vibes
in like 1998. And I really liked it. I thought it was so scary. And I think about this movie, like, anytime a friend of mine is telling me a story about like a challenging mother-in-law situation, this movie resonates. Like, I'm always thinking of it. Like, I have a friend, again, I'm not going to call anyone out. You know who you are if you have time to listen. Going through a very unexpected challenge of finding themselves living with their mother-in-law right now. And every time I catch up with this friend, like, this is the tone I'm imagining she's living in, right? Here's what's so sad. And here is my thesis. My thesis is Hush deserves to be reconsidered because Roger Ebert said at the time that this movie came out that this was the kind of movie where you walk in Watch the first 10 minutes, know exactly where it's going, and hope devoutly that you're wrong. It's one of those devouring women movies where the villainess never plays a scene without a drink and a cigarette, and the hero is an inattentive to the victim to the point of dementia. This movie only has a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes, and the site's consensus says that it's ridiculous but wholly predictable potboiler with performances ranging from comatose to hysterical. And the kicker, the real kicker, is that the year this came out, Jessica Lange was nominated for the Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Actress, but lost to the Spice Girls for Spice Girl.
Oh, well, that's rude.
And I just think it's unfair, and I think it's time that we all go back and recognize how good this movie was. And honestly, we should just do it again, and this time Jessica Lange can play the grandma.
Oh, like, yeah.
Should Gwyneth play the mom?
Yeah.
Clearly.
Everyone just ages up.
Can't imagine.
So who should be the Gwyneth?
Gwyneth playing that.
And I did not appreciate that dig at Spice Girl.
Well, wow. In general.
But, oh my God, that's ridiculous.
Thank you. I was hoping I'd have a sympathy.
It feels like we didn't watch the same trailer that they're talking about.
It's an absolute nightmare, and I think that people just didn't understand that this movie about newlyweds moving to their family thoroughbred horse ranch, where their husband's obsessive mother resolves to get rid of her new daughter-in-law. I just don't think people understood what Jonathan Darby was going for here. But Jonathan Darby, director, writer of this film, if you're listening, I got it. I loved it. 10 now, out of 10.
Who is that male lead?
You don't recognize him?
But I don't recognize the name. Jonathan Shaw?
He was really big because he was fresh off of playing Jimmy in That Thing You Do.
Oh, yeah. The drummer? I guess, yeah.
Oh, no. He's the lead singer. He's the talent. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the talent. He's had an actually really interesting career. He's done a lot of TV. He's done, like, he was a regular on The Client List and Ray Donovan and Star-Crossed and Texas Rising and a bunch of other TV shows.
You clearly have a spreadsheet of the That Thing You Do cast and monitor exactly the path of each one of them. Mm-hmm. And I support this.
Yeah. Do you think Gwyneth remembers who he is?
Absolutely not.
No. And that's not a knock on him. It's just,
Gwyneth remembers that she did this movie?
No.
No.
No question.
She didn't remember. Wasn't she the one that forgot she was in a Marvel movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, which she was in five. So. She was in like three phases.
Also, like, 1997, though, through 2000, Gwyneth really did so many movies that it would be hard.
Sure.
It is true.
That's a heady time for any woman.
But this guy had also been on that TV show Models, Inc. before doing this. And
I love Models, Inc.
Yeah, and he was on several episodes of that show, and he also did he was working quite a lot. This was not like his first movie.
It's just his name next to Jessica Lange and Gwyneth Paltrow. It doesn't have that same.
It doesn't. I have a feeling that the poor reviews for this movie did not help make him
probably did not.
It kind of kept him at a certain level. Yeah.
Can I ask the We Stand podcast creators a question? Have y'all ever considered a long Razzie deep dive and just like a series of Razzie?
Wow, it's a great idea. It's a great idea.
That might need to be our next mini series,
because the Razzies do really tell you where the culture's head at as far as what they want to punish. And I think that to the points that you both made about Spice World, it had to do with, like, you know, them being young and feminine and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and people just not understanding what camp is.
That is a big part of it. Yeah.
Like, I mean, look at the looks of the Met Gala for the year it was camp. Even some of the world's most people don't understand. Yeah,
Diana, you know, the musical being nominated offended me. It's not appropriate.
No.
But great idea. Absolutely great idea, Ben.
Yeah, I love that. I'm here for it. And I will absolutely try to get justice for so many of my favorite films that the Razzies just didn't understand.
I feel like there's a lot of causes in the world that we as individuals can't do anything about. And I feel like this is a cause that y'all could just do so much for. Like,
great point.
This might be your calling. You're right.
This might be like some of us are out here donating to ACLU, whatever. No, I think this is it for you.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
I am really stuck on films, particularly from like 1997 to 2000, that didn't get their due. Like, I'm still trying to retroactively get
American Beauty to have its Oscar rescinded and given. Well,
this could work. What we could get them, yeah. A Razzie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And give them a Razzie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wait, you're saying the movie that glorifies a sex offender starring a sex offender about the Georgia suburbs is not worthy of the Oscars, right?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, got it. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think that your Muppets from Outer Space deserves
classic. The Oscar.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much. See?
Yeah. 97 to 2000. The Y2K paranoia created such odd taste, I think.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think you're exactly correct.
Yeah.
There are new, and you always do see it through horror films, what people are concerned about. Because when I did go to see Black Phone, there were two trailers for different like horror, psychological thriller movies. They were both about being in an Airbnb at the wrong time.
Sure.
That's clearly a modern.
You know, that was like a Finding Nemo, Shark Tale, Bug's Life, Ant situation, where like one company was doing it, the other company had like rushed to do it faster.
Yeah, one's got Winona, so I will say it's a big leg up. But the other looked pretty scary, so I don't know.
We'll have to see them both in the same day.
Back to back.
Yeah.
Double feature.
We'll have to get an Airbnb and watch them stream.
No, that does feel scary, though.
No, that's what we're going to have to do. Sorry, Caitlin. We're going to go back to that one in Pennsylvania that was accidentally close to a cult, I think.
Ooh.
Not accidentally. I was trying to get you into the cult, but you were like busy.
Airbnbs too.
Yeah.
Well, our last one, you really thought you were really creeped out by it.
There was a camera on a tree in the back facing nothing. Yeah, I was freaked out.
Oh, I don't
yeah.
like that.
And there's like some weird closets.
Closets went nowhere. Like they weren't closets. They were just little like kill rooms.
Oh yeah, a kill room is not great.
A nice backyard. Oh. Like it was good scenery.
It was literally a barn.
It was a barn.
I was understanding of any weird stuff that might be going on.
I'm just looking forward to your double feature at an Airbnb and then making it a movie where a serial killer mm-hmm. tries to kill people like they do in the Airbnb movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See where I'm mm-hmm. going with this?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. This is our Scream franchise.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And well, Lauren and I have to go. We have to go write that, and Jessica Lange is calling.
Yeah, so, Jessica Lange calling. Ben, Sabrina, for anyone that has fallen into stan with you, where can they stan you best?
Oh, we're horrifically off the grid these days, but you can always
good.
Yeah, if you want to hear some hot basketball takes, you can follow Ben on Twitter.
Oh, it's the worst. Mm-hmm. I actually am a graphic novel writer and animation writer, and you, my agent, would be mad at me for not saying so. So
yes.
The real Ben Cohen, or Twitter at THA Real Ben Cohen, Saw Real Ben Cohen. I will have some projects coming out over the next couple of years.
I'm findable everywhere by the name Nemo Asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah, I had a TikTok that got like
super viral.
It went viral, but like it was early TikTok, so I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
That's my claim to fame.
Yes.
Follow me on TikTok. I don't post anymore, but I like that I was famous.
Follow her. You know, she may have a revival. We don't know. You know, you can always follow us at We Stand Social if you haven't. It's just kind of weird at this point.
And if you have films that have earned Razzies that you think need to be rediscovered, let us know. We might need to do another WB Madness all of the Razzies.
Oh my God. I love this.
You should do a tournament.
Good.
Yeah.
This could be great.
This could be great. All right. Catch you later, Stan Stans.
Later, bye. Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Now the Backstreet Boys are all.